Welcome to the latest Stockhouse Investor Podcast, where you get up-to-date information on the sectors, the companies, and the trends which are competing for your investment dollars. Today, Lou is speaking with the CEO of OreFinders Resources, Stephen Stewart, to hear about some big news. The year 2018 has started off with a bang for OreFinders Resources, symbol ORX. There was a huge piece of news on January 15, 2018, concerning the company's flagship Mirado Gold Project, a new preliminary economic assessment. Right behind that were more significant developments for shareholders and investors. ORX closed on a trio of prospective contiguous properties consolidating this land package. The company has dubbed this its Night Project. The land package hosts several past producing mines and includes both robust gold mineralization as well as silver cobalt mineralization centered around the former Mann mine. This new acquisition has then set the stage for a further piece of news, a spin-off of assets for OreFinders shareholders. Along with all of this, the company has also found time to give something back to the community and make an investment in the future. In partnership with IM Gold, ORX has established the Young Mining Professionals Scholarship Fund. Stockhouse recently caught up with the CEO of OreFinders, Stephen Stewart. He has taken time out of his busy schedule to update investors on this flurry of developments. I'm Jeff Nielsen on behalf of Stockhouse Editorial. I have the pleasure of speaking with Stephen Stewart. We're here today to get the latest news on ORX's Mirado Gold Project. Thanks for joining me today, Stephen.
Hi, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
So let's dive right into the questions because I'm sure our investors are eager to hear more about your flagship project. For newer investors, please take a couple of minutes to provide some background on your flagship property, the Mirado Gold Project.
Our Mirado Gold Project is located about 30 kilometers south of the town of Kirkland Lake. It is a former producer that was in an operation as recently as the 80s by a company called Golden Field. And we acquired it in 2013 and went ahead and drilled 13,000 meters in addition to a lot of the historical drilling that we had. And we compiled a maiden resources of about 442,000 ounces of gold at an average grade of 1.3 grams per ton. In addition to that, we know there's certainly an opportunity to drill a multi-million ounce gold deposit on this resource. We see gold manifesting itself in the same style of geology to the west and to other areas that are open pittable. But when the markets started to soften in 2013, we quickly realized that there was not a lot of appetite to drill out these multi-million ounce deposits by continuously diluting our shareholders. So in 2015, we changed our strategy and just started to start small and bootstrap our project and utilize the various advantages that the Mirado project had. And what it did have, it had an open pit in place. It had a huge stockpile of over 50,000 tons of material sitting at surface, which had been blasted but not mined. And it's got a road that runs right to it. And it's got access to all sorts of mills in the area, including Kirkland Lake Gold, which is only 30 kilometers away. So how this all manifested itself in terms of the new strategy is that we sent 25,000 tons of material from the bulk sample to the Westwood Mill and Mine in 2017, where we recovered 1,400 ounces and revenue was about $2.5 million. And it was a proof of concept for us to be able to bootstrap the Mirado mine. And that all culminated in early January 2018 of this year, when we released an updated resource calculation on a very, very high grade zone of that initial maiden resource, which has about 0.6 grams per ton average grade for about 75,000 ounces. So that's a project within a project. And then we did a PEA on extracting and again toll milling those high grade ounces using mills in the area. So it's what this PEA does, it shows very, very high economics, but low capex without building a mill or a tailings facility, which means we can put this thing back into production in a relatively near time frame.
So you're located in gold country, you've got a robust resource, and of course you're planning on getting the project put into production. So let's get into the mine development plan. Now, you're planning a phased development of the Mirado mine designed to minimize capex and reduce project risk. Could you provide further details here?
Sure. So as I said before, this PEA and what it defines about 75,000 ounce production is over a three-year time frame. So again, it's a project within a project. But let's start with the first 3 years. That's about 25,000 ounces a year production that we can get from this project. In order to do that, we have to spend very little capital. There's only $2.4 million in CapEx required to put this thing into production. The road is already in place. You can drive your Cadillac right to the foot of this thing. And as I mentioned before, we're not building a $100 million mill or a 10-year tailings facility, or I should say something that would require 10 years worth of permitting. So the idea is to put this thing into production very quickly, mine the high-grade portions of it in the near term, and that's over years, you know, 1 to 3. And then as well, we'll be stockpiling the sub 1 gram material that we won't necessarily be sending to the mill, but we'll be stockpiling it for later phases of the mine's development. And all the meantime, when we're mining and generating our cash flow, we'll be implementing a drill program that will ultimately grow the existing resource as we know it. We're sort of approaching it like miners used to approach mines, as they found a vein and they started to mine it and they drill out ahead of it. That's the same principle that we're following with the Mirado project.
Well, why don't we get more into the economic side of the project?
Sure. So the PEA clearly defines a very economic project. Talking about the headline numbers, you can see the payback is 7 months. The IRR is almost a cartoon at 158%. And the NPV at an undiscounted rate is over $30 million, and that's at $1,300 gold. So what does that mean? Well, that means the CapEx is very low at $2.4 million. Hence, given the project's profitability, that money gets paid back within 7 months of operation. All operations, therefore, afterwards flow to the company's bottom line. And if you look at the NPV, it's $30 million over 3 years. That's $10 million that comes down to the bottom line each year of the project. And that's $10 million that we're going to reinvest into the Mirado and into the Knight projects without having to continuously go back to dilute our shareholders. So that's what this PEA really is all about. It's showing this project as a standalone that is highly profitable and will allow us to fund our continued exploration and development plans and continue to unlock value for our shareholders without diluting our shareholder base.
Well, certainly those are very robust numbers for the first phase of Mirado, but of course, those are only part of your recent activities. Could you expand upon your newest acquisition, the Knight Project?
Yes, the Knight Project, we announced in November and officially closed on January. And this is something we're very excited about. And you earlier referred to the Mirado as our flagship. And I guess traditionally speaking, it has been. But one can certainly make an argument that the Knight Project is just as, if not even more exciting. And we're tremendously excited. What it was is a consolidation of 9 different properties, 3 different property owners. There was a lot of work my team did in putting this a transaction of this sort together. The key assets are 5 of the 9 assets, which are in the Shining Tree District of Northern Ontario, which is about 100 kilometers west of Kirkland Lake. And these 5 projects have a number of former producing mines, some of the best drill intersections in Canada on any gold project exist on the Minto project, which is one of those 5 projects. And they all sit on top of a 4 million ounce deposit, which is owned by Tahoe Resources, which is a major company. So we view that area as a further consolidation. We see our project and Tahoe's project being one eventually. And then from there, it has the opportunity to become the next big camp. Again, just like a Mirado project, you can drive right to these projects. There's an incredible amount of gold in the system, given the 4 million ounces on the Tahoe project, in combination with some of the best drill intersections on our properties, together with huge upside potential with bulk tonnage material. So we're very excited about that.
So you've clearly done a lot of work here, and there's obviously a lot of potential for investors to consider. But let's get into another aspect of this new acquisition. Please explain why the company decided to spin out the silver cobalt assets associated with the former Man Mine.
Yeah, so as I said, when we were talking about the Knight projects, we acquired 9 projects, 5 of which sit in our focused gold area, and one of which is a little further to the east, about 20 kilometers to the east of the core gold projects in the Knight. It's called the Man Mine. And the Man Mine's a bit of an outlier, I guess only in the sense that it's a silver and cobalt asset. both the Knight Project and the Murado Project are gold-focused projects that OreFinders has positioned itself as a pure play. So we own this asset that we feel we don't get fair value for. So in order to do that, we're going to spin off the Man Mine into a new vehicle, which we're calling Power Ore. And Power Ore is going to be a completely independent arm's length company from OreFinders. But OreFinders is going to end up owning a significant chunk of this and participate on what I see as tremendous upside in the valuations that cobalt assets are getting.
Well, this certainly seems like a natural opportunity for a spinoff. Precisely when will this take place and what are the terms?
Well, we just announced the pricing today. We're raising money for Power Ore in a private vehicle. We're doing it at 5 cents for our dollars and 6 cents flow through investments. In terms of timing, we just got our 43-101 report independent done on the Man Mine. We've received preliminary approvals from the exchange, and hence after the financing is complete, we expect to be listed in short order. In its entirety, we expect the whole process to be a 60 to 90 day affair where we'll be a new company listed on the Toronto Venture Exchange.
I'm sure investors are looking forward to that. But you're also giving something back to the community. OreFinders has chosen to participate in a new mining scholarship fund. Please take a minute to provide a few details here.
Well, sure. The scholarship fund is operated by a group called the Young Mining Professionals, which is a group that I'm very much involved with. In fact, I lead the Toronto chapter here. We got together with the Young Mining Professionals, OreFinders, and of course, IM Gold to create something that I'm very proud of, and it's called the YMP Scholarship Fund. It was announced a number of months ago, and I think any student who is enrolled for the academic year for 2018-2019 in a Canadian geology or mining engineer program can apply. And we have three $4,000 scholarships, so $12,000 in total, that we'll be giving away to a well-deserving female, male, and Indigenous community member. So we encourage anybody who's interested to go to youngminingprofessionals.com and go to the scholarship sections and apply there.
That's wonderful news. Given all of this, can you also connect the dots and what is ahead for the company over the next 18 months?
Sure. Well, for the next 18 months, in fact, for the next, let's call it 2018, our focus is on the Murado project is going to be twofold. One is going to be securing a coal milling contract so that we can process our ore. The other, of course, is to finalize our permitting. We hope that can take place over the next 6 months. After that, we'll be in position to begin production. With respect to the Knight Project, you might see us make another acquisition or two in the area. Again, we feel that area is very prime for consolidation, and we know the areas that we're most interested in, and we're currently talking to some parties there. Aside from that, we're doing a lot of data compilation. We acquired these 9 properties from different owners, and the data needs to be consolidated and looked at as a single cohesive situation. So we're in data input mode at the moment so that we can create a new geological model and ultimately solve the riddle of the Shining Tree and the Knight Project.
Well, you've certainly given investors a lot to consider here. Let me take a moment to produce a summary. With the next rally still not fully underway in the gold sector, now is the time for value investors to take advantage of some of the bargains available. With near-term gold production and an imminent spin-off for shareholders, OreFinders Resources offers plenty of blue sky potential. This is Jeff Nielsen, and I've been speaking with Stephen Stewart, CEO of OreFinders Resources. Thanks for spending time with me today, Stephen.
My pleasure, Jeff. Thank you for having me.
And for our listeners, thank you for joining us. As always, investors are reminded to do their own due diligence before making any investment decision.